Chapter 15. Why don't you tell that slimy motherfucker Karnog to come out and face me like a man? I shouted up to the orc on the back of the wind dragon.
Yeah!
Mira added.
That fucker of mothers wouldn't last 2 seconds against a Draco Rex in a fight.
Unfortunately, the orc wasn't taking our bait. Instead, he threw his head back and unleashed a bout of uproarious laughter.
I think the captain learned his lesson the last time, the orc explained. He just wanted me to come out and send his regards before we sink you into the depths.
Gemma, I asked telepathically, do you think you can take this guy down with an arrow?
Oh, we're a bit toyed up at the moment,
Gemma gasped.
If Eric or I even lift a finger off Tyrion, we'll be sucked into this vortex.
Shit. If we wanted to stand a chance against the assault of the Wind Dragon, we'd need Tyrion and Malky by our sides, and we'd need to take out the rider. However, the current circumstances weren't going to allow that to happen.
Anyways, I just came to say goodbye, Dragon King,
the orc above cackled.
Thanks for waking up the dragons for us!
The orc whistled, and the dragon underneath him began to slither through the sky as it let out a creepy hiss. Then it zipped over to the other side of our ship, pursed its lips, and took in a deep breath.
Tether yourselves to something!
I commanded my crew. We all made a mad dash to find a rope or a piece of loose netting. I sprang up onto a nearby mast net, wrapped the rope around both my wrists and my ankles, and held on for dear life. And all around me I watched as my friends took similar tethering actions. Lazan literally sunk her claws and teeth into a heavy barrel, while Mira attached herself to the ship's wheel, and Sela tied her wrist onto one of the sails. I tried to take stock of the Morpho women, too, but the Wind Dragon finally unleashed its breath and blasted wind directly down onto the Dragon Queen. The water around the ship kicked up like it was being stirred by a Category 5 hurricane, and it splashed over the side and soaked us in its waves. My hair and loose clothing blew back with such ferocity that it was practically horizontal with the ground, and the net I was clinging to whipped furiously and threatened to snap loose from its mount. The dragon's breath was so strong it began to push our entire ship backward in the direction of the swirling waterspout behind us. Then, once the deed was done, the orc on the dragon's back let out a cackle, and the dragon turned its back to us and began to fly off into the horizon.
I'd love to stay and watch you die,
the orc's slimy tongue echoed across the sky.
But we've got some fire breathers to capture.
I watched the Wind Dragon and the orc slither through the sky, off to the east of our position. If we could somehow find our way out of this predicament, that was where we'd need to go to stop the bastard. However, first things needed to be first. We had to stop our vessel from being ripped to pieces by this waterspout. And to do that, it was going to take some very drastic measures.
Can we turn the ship so the wind is at our backs?
Awara demanded from somewhere off to my left.
At our backs?
Mira shouted.
The wind is blowing every single direction at random intervals. That's gonna be impossible.
What about steering the ship around the waterspout?
Sela called out.
All right.
Mira snorted sarcastically.
I never would have thought of that one. We don't have enough clearance.
Shit. We needed to change directions and fast. Or at least we needed to stop moving toward the deadly waterspout. Wait. That was it. If we could suddenly halt all of our momentum, we could at least keep ourselves from being destroyed. And at this point, that was all we could ask for.
Malky! I commanded the copper-scaled water dragon. I need you to do something crazy.
Why else is new?
The dragon huffed as he ran over to my position. Mira, tie off the wheel, take the Kunag women down into the lower deck, and unfasten our cannons, I continued. When I give you the signal, I want you guys to push them as hard as you can toward the left side of the ship.
What good will that—
Mira began, but I cut her off. Just trust me, I reassured her as I turned to Sela. As for you and the Morpho women, I need you to drop the anchor immediately.
How do you drop an anchor?
Elzara questioned as she struggled over to my side and tried to keep her wings folded tight against her body.
We've never sailed a ship before in our lives.
It's very simple,
Sela reassured the blue-haired beauty.
Just follow my lead. Come on.
Okay, Malky, I explained to the water dragon next. I want you to jump into the water, grab the anchor with your mouth, and then try to pull us away from this swirling funnel of death.
Won't the anchor and the ship be way too heavy?
Malky protested. That's why we're going to give you some help, I explained. Just do what you can, okay?
I'll do my best.
The water dragon nodded. Malky turned around, ran to the side of the ship, and then leapt out over the side. He splashed down into the water just as Sella and the Morphos arrived at the anchor windlass and began to crank it counterclockwise. Then I unfastened myself from the net, jumped down, and motioned to Jonas. As for you, I want you to help me unfasten these crates and barrels, I commanded the soothsayer.
But bang! Jonas gasped. If we do that, won't they all slide around when the boat is rocked?
Exactly, I nodded. They'll slide right over to the other side and then help to stop our momentum.
Ah, you are always such a clever one, Draco Rix.
Jonas smiled as he took in my words, and then the two of us ran over to the stockpile of crates atop our deck. I tossed the soothsayer my dagger and then pulled out my sword, and we got to work. We sliced the tie-downs off each box in the pile, and once that was done, we repeated our actions on the barrels.
We're in position, Ben.
Mira's voice announced through our dragon bond. All right! I took a deep breath.
On the count of three, give them a shove, okay? 1, 2, 3!
Down below the deck, I heard the sound of the iron wheels rolling across wooden floors as the cannons barreled toward the opposite side of the vessel. The next thing I knew, there was a loud crash, and the Dragon Queen lurched to the side. The sudden shift in momentum was soon afterward accompanied by Malky hitting the end of the anchor chain. This caused a second major lurch to the side, and this time it was enough of a tilt to cause the boxes and barrels to be jarred loose. I watched with relief as the crates and wooden boxes slid across the deck, slammed into the side, and caused our momentum to slow down even further. Some of the goods ended up falling overboard, but that was a small price to pay. Finally, the Dragon Queen slowed to a halt, just out of the reach of the waterspout.
Did that just work?
Mira questioned.
I think it did, I proclaimed. Good job, everybody!
I hate to ruin your victory celebration.
Tyrion's voice gulped.
But we're still in a lot of trouble up here, and my wings are getting really tired.
Shit. I looked up at the silver dragon as he tried to flee the grasp of the spout. Dolwyn, Ahwara, get your people up there and see if you can pull him away.
You heard the man.
Dolwyn took a spread eagle stance and pointed up to the sky.
Morphos, let's do what we do best.
All six of the butterfly women jumped up into the air, flapped their wings heartily, and then flew toward the silver dragon. I worried their fragile little bodies weren't going to stand a chance against the howling wind of the waterspout, but thankfully I was 100% wrong. The Morpho women fluttered in the air beside Tyrion, and then they reached out and grabbed the dragon by his front legs. Their wings struggled as they yanked him in the opposite direction of the waterspout, until finally, the little fire-breathing dragon flew forward like the cork out of a champagne bottle.
Whew!
Tyrion sighed.
That was a close one!
You're not out of the woods yet, buddy, I warned. I need you to turn that waterspout into a bunch of hot air!
Tyrion twisted his body around in the sky before he hauled back his pointed snout, summoned red flames into his maw, and unleashed them at the bottom of the swirling water. The beam of fire struck the waterspout and instantly evaporated it into a sizzling hot steam, and Tyrion moved his attack up and down all around the spout until the whole thing was completely evaporated. The wind subsided, and the waters became calm once more. I leaned back against a nearby mast and let out a long sigh of relief. We did it. Somehow, we just saved our asses from going down to Davy Jones's locker. The rest of us cheered as Tyrion and the Morpho women landed back on the deck of the ship, and then again when Malky returned from the ocean. Soon, Mira and the Kunag women came back up from the lower deck and joined us for a victory lap. Unfortunately, our excitement quickly faded into worry.
Okay, Jonas.
Sella began the second we'd all calmed down.
What was that thing, and how do we kill it?
The village elders told me many stories about the different types of dragons that exist in this world, the soothsayer began. They explain the dragon's power comes from the magic of the gods, so there could theoretically be a dragon for every major element of nature.
wind, fire, water, earth, thunder. The list goes on and on. But I always thought they were just stories to scare us and keep us from leaving the island. Apparently not, I shook my head. It looks like they're very, very real, and the orcs have figured out how to train them. We need to find that fleet of orc ships before those sick bastards are able to kill or capture any of our fire dragons.
But, Ben...
Gemma trailed off.
We only have one ship, and they have a whole fleet. How can we possibly stand a chance?
Well, if I know my orc behaviors, and I think I do, I snorted, then they've probably brought mostly larger ships, which means we'll be able to outmaneuver them very easily.
Okay.
Mira protested.
But even if that's the case, they could still outnumber us. Even if we sink 10 of their ships, there's a much more likely chance one of their many vessels will get lucky and sink us.
That's why we have to focus on two targets and two targets alone, I nodded. The Wind Dragon and Captain Karnog's ship. There's no way we defeat the entire fleet of orc ships. But if we can remove their two most valuable assets, the rest of the bastards will run away with their tails between their legs.
How do we kill a Wind Dragon, though?
Gemma gulped. I'll have to think about that one, I admitted. All I know is we need to find our fire dragons before it's too late. Let's get sailing, and we can try to formulate a plan along the way. I walked back over to the ship's wheel, unfastened its tie-down, and then began to command the Dragon Queen once again. I had a few of my crewmates head back down to the lower deck to reinstall our cannons while the rest of us pulled up the anchor, sailed the ship, and tried to figure out a way to take out our top two targets. Eventually, we settled on a simple plan for Karnog's ship. We would sail directly into the fleet of orc vessels and then move in close to the captain's vessel while they were busy with the dragons. If any of the other ships dared to fire at us, then they'd risk hitting their own brethren. As long as we could get in close, which I figured we could, since the dragons would be all up in the orcs' faces. Hopefully. Tyrion and Malky would be in the air and the sea, respectively. The dragons would try to cause as much chaos as they could, which would also help to pull the orcs' ships' attention away from us. It didn't take us long to finally come across the fleet. Off in the distance, we saw about 10 ships, all of which were large sailing vessels that flew a pirate-like flag on their main masts. Two of the ships were completely on fire, while the remaining 8 were firing off cannonballs at an upward angle. Above the fleet, a deadly battle raged. The Wind Dragon slithered through the air as the 8 fire dragons tried to hit it with their incinerating breath, but the feathery red beast was too agile. He dipped and ducked out of the way of the flames, and then responded with a blast of his own wind breath, which sent the fire dragons flying through the air like they'd just been uppercutted by a heavyweight boxer. "All right, dragons," I announced when we got only a few thousand feet away. "It's showtime. Good luck! And stay the hell away from that Wind Dragon, all right?"
"You don't have to tell us twice."
Malky shuddered.
"Trust me,"
Tyrion added.
"I'd much rather face the orcs."
With that, Malky hopped off the side of the boat and then splashed into the water. Meanwhile, Tyrion took to the skies and shot off in the direction of the orc fleet. Now came the moment of truth. We had to get in close to the main ship.
"Which one is Karnog's?"
Mira asked as she put her hands over her eyes to make a visor. "I'm not sure," I said. "But it's Karnog. He's a cocky bastard, so I'm sure he'll announce himself the second he realizes we're here. We just need to be prepared. Who's on the cannons?"
"Arik, Gemma, and Jonas,"
Sela explained.
"They did such a great job against the Sanshula that I thought it would be wise to put them down there again."
"No arguments here," I nodded. "Just make sure we're ready to attack when we get to the ship." My heart pounded inside my chest as we approached the battle. This was a freaking active war zone where cannonballs, typhoon-like winds, and literal fire was raining down from the sky. Whatever happened, we needed to eliminate our two targets, and we needed to do it fast. We sailed between the first two boats without much fanfare. The orcs on those ships must have been focused on the battle above, because they didn't really seem to notice us passing by. However, when we finally entered the belly of the beast, I heard a familiar voice call out across the ocean.
"I thought I told Holdhor to kill that fucking little bitch!"
Captain Karnog's voice bellowed. I glanced over to the port side of our ship and saw the jolly green bastard in all his glory. Carnog stood on the deck of his ship with a toothy grin on his face that was nearly as wide as the shoulder pads of his frock coat. The bastard must have upgraded since the last time we'd met, since his coat was now a pristine sapphire blue, with several black frills and buttons. His sea-glass eye glimmered under the sun and reflected the flames of the battle above, but it remained motionless in his head.
"Long time no see, Carnog!" I yelled across the naval battle. "How are those legs of yours holding up?"
"I know you're joking," the orc captain snarled, "but I'm doing better than ever. In fact, I think after I capture your ship, I'm gonna pull these here wooden legs off and beat you to death with them!"
"Fat chance, fucko!"
I snorted before I reached out to Gemma with my dragon bond.
"Are the cannons ready to fire?"
"Ready!"
the Nerolope woman answered back.
"Then fire at will!"
I commanded. Suddenly, the sound of firing cannons rang out from beneath the deck, and large chunks of Carnog's vessel splintered off as our cannonballs tore through the sides.
"Yarr! Bloody fuck!" the captain declared. "They've got fucking cannons!"
"I have you to thank," I taunted the bastard. "You're the one who brought them straight to my doorstep the last time I kicked your ass."
Carnog let out a frustrated roar.
"Return fire!"
I watched as several panels opened up on the side of Carnog's ship, and the barrels of cannons rolled out of the holes.
"Tyrion!" I whistled. "We need some air support right about now, buddy!"
"Fire!"
Carnog cackled. Just before our enemies could get off their attack, a silver blur swooped down from the sky. Tyrion flew alongside Carnog's ship as he unleashed a beam of white-hot flames, and he set the entire side of the ship ablaze. The flames must have ignited some exposed powder near the cannons, too, because a large explosion rocked the vessel moments later. It didn't seem to be enough to sink the ship entirely, but boy did it cause hell for the orcs. Several orcs screamed and then propelled their flaming bodies out into the water in an attempt to put themselves out. But too bad for them, Malky was waiting. There was a grody, crunching sound as the water dragon snapped the orc's bones with his jaws, and their screams went silent.
"Nice shot," I grinned at the dragons. "Speaking of which, Gemma, fire!"
Our three cannons rang out once more as flaming wood splintered off Carnog's starboard side.
"Ah, fucking idiots!" the captain screamed. "Put out the goddamn fire, or I'll have your eyes for dinner!"
We watched as a bunch of the orcs ran over to the side of the ship with buckets in their hands. They dumped water down onto the flames and turned the entire starboard side of the vessel into a makeshift steam sauna. However, there was something I noticed that made the light bulb turn on in my brain. As the orcs put all of their weight onto this side of the ship, the entire vessel rocked and threatened to capsize. That was it. If we could pull a maneuver like we did earlier and get the ship to roll over onto its side, we could fire our cannons up into the air, and, with a bit of marksmanship and a little luck, we could possibly take out the wind dragon in the process. However, I wasn't going to risk my own ship. If we were going to capsize a boat, I wanted it to be one of theirs. And whose ship would be better than the asshole orc captain's?
"New plan," I announced to my crew. "Mira, take the wheel."
"Wait,"
Mira gasped.
"What do you think you're doing?"
"I'm going to board Carnog's ship," I explained. "Whatever you do, make sure you keep sailing along this side, okay? His cannons are disabled on this side, and we're close enough that the other ships wouldn't dare take a shot at us."
"What exactly are you planning here, Draco Rex?"
Sela's eyes narrowed.
"Follow me over there and find out," I winked at the mossy-scaled dragonkin warrior.
"Now, that's what I like to hear."
Sela grinned at my words. I let go of the wheel and then drew my sword as Mira took over. Next, I walked over to the group of Morpho women.
"You guys are coming too," I explained. "It looks like there's a lot of orcs on the ship, so I'm gonna need all the fighters I can get."
"You have us at your disposal, Ben,"
Dalwyn said with a bow.
"Great," I agreed. "Then let's get over there and kick some ass. Lysan, Nadir, you guys are coming along, right?"
"I thought you'd never ask."
Nadir grinned. Then, without warning, Lexan and Nadir took off at a full sprint as they screamed.
Aye, 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 aye.
Both of the raccoon women leapt off the side of the Dragon Queen, stuck their claws into the charred wood of Karnak's ship, and then began to scurry up the vessel. The Morpho women were right behind them. All six of the neon-haired beauties unfurled their fan blades, rose up into the sky, and then flew over to our enemy's ship. Man, I whistled as I looked at Sella. It must be nice to be so mobile. Follow me.
Yarr! Fucking hell!
Karnak thundered.
Kill these bitches! Tear their goddamn wings off if you have to!
Rage boiled up from my very core at the thought of Karnak hurting my women. Gloat now, bastard. Because I had my sights set on him, and only him. I shimmied up one of the ship's masts, with Sella close behind. We crawled up a few dozen feet until we came to one of the cross-sections, where I halted in place, and then used my sword to cut one of the ropes that held the sail in place.
Won't that be an issue later?
Sella asked. Later, I nodded. For now, we needed to get across the gap. Grab onto me! The moss-scaled dragonkin woman wrapped her arms around my neck and her feet around my left leg. Her toned body pressed up tight against mine, and I responded with an arm around her wide waist. Finally, I wrapped part of the rope around my wrist for good measure, took a deep breath, and then forced us both backward. We became a human pendulum for a moment as we swung back, stopped in midair, and then came forward with force. The two of us swung out over the ocean and across the deck of Karnak's ship until we arrived above the cross-section of one of his masts. Then, at the furthest point of our swing, I let go of the rope, and Sella and I came crashing down onto the wood with a dull thud. I threw my right arm out and grabbed a hold of a nearby rope, and our descent was slowed to a plodding halt. The second we were safe, Sella gave me a wink, let go of my body, and then slid down the rope like a trapeze artist as she drew her spear. The dragonkin warrior wasted no time in killing her first orc as she drove her spear point directly through an approaching enemy's head, straight between the eyeballs. Damn, Sella was good. I did a quick survey of the battlefield before I joined the fray. Up above, the wind dragon and the fire dragons were still engaged, and it looked like they were locked in a stalemate. All nine of the combatants were still in the air, even the adolescent and elderly dragons. None of them appeared to be injured, though they were all snarling with frustration as they tried to kill their opponents. Meanwhile, down on the deck below, my crew was going wild. I watched as Lazan disarmed an orc with her stone axe and proceeded to rip his larynx out with her bare teeth. Blood splurted out onto the deck as he fumbled at his wound, but it was much too late for him. Then Lazan spat his voice box out like gore-flavored gum before she moved on to the next attacker. Nadir was fighting with an equally brutal style. The raven-haired Kunag woman smashed in the orc's skulls with her axe before she finished them off with a quick decapitation. She was taking on two or three opponents at a time, but it didn't seem to be an issue whatsoever. The Morpho women took on a more communal approach. The butterfly warriors had formed a circle around a large group of orcs, and each of the girls was darting back and forth randomly. As they flew by, they lashed out with their fan blades and took down some of the green bastards. Some of the orcs had their throats slit, while others got a bony spine through their eyes or had their chests split open. Even though these guys were a million times worse than the Morpho men we'd fought not too long ago, my women were making short work of the fuckers. Good. That meant I could focus on Karnak, and Karnak alone. I scanned the crowd until I finally spotted the ugly bastard. Karnak was plodding across the deck under the power of peg legs with his cutlass drawn and his eyes focused on me. Actually, on second thought, maybe I would stay up here. It'd make for a much more even fight after all.
Dragon King! Karnak roared. Come down here and fight me like a bloody man!
Yeah, I like this spot, I shrugged. It'd be a lot easier if you just came up here.
Have it your way,
the orc captain snarled. Then Karnak took off in a waddling sprint toward the mast I was positioned on. As he ran, he swung his sword up at one of the ship's riggings, cut it in two, and then grabbed onto the severed rope as it lurched up into the air. The big old bastard rode the rope like an old-timey villain until he reached the cross-section, and then he let go and came down onto the beam hard. "Okay, I'll admit it," I taunted Carnog as I held my sword at the ready. "You're pretty nimble for a fat cripple."
"Oh, you're gonna be much more than crippled by the time I'm done with ya," the orc captain warned.
Carnog tossed his cutlass between his hands as he took a few steps toward me. Then he lunged forward and took a swing at my stomach. I jumped back seconds before I was disemboweled, and then tried to catch my balance on the thin beam beneath my feet. Carnog saw this as another offensive opportunity, and his sword came at my neck faster than I could move. I threw up my sea glass blade, blocked the attack, and then wobbled as its impact threatened to knock me off the mast. Before I could even fully catch myself, Carnog's fist struck me across the face, and I felt the spray of warm, coppery blood as it flew from my mouth. Now I was completely off balance, so I wildly swung my sword in the direction of my opponent. The sudden attack must have worked, too, because Carnog made a huge leap back from my position. Once I steadied myself on the beam, I went on the offensive. I swung at Carnog's throat, but he knocked away my attack with his sword and then came at me with a jab. So I leaned to the side, struck his sword with my own, and parried the blow. I returned fire by coming up with a diagonal swing, and Carnog let out a gasp of pain as my sword sliced across his chest. The captain stumbled backward as blood pooled around his torn fabric and his fresh wound, but it didn't seem to be a deep cut. Still, it got him on the defensive, which was exactly what I needed to do to take him down. I took a step toward Carnog, but the bastard lashed out with his fucking peg leg. The hard wooden leg slammed into my shin and sent me down onto one knee. Pain shot through the entire front of my leg, but I didn't have much time to grovel. Carnog's other leg came up to my face, and I was forced to go prone to dodge it. While still on my stomach, I used my sword to sweep out Carnog's other leg, and then watched with glee as he fell down. The bastard's legs were spread out, so he got the old ballbuster special as his full body weight slammed the crossbeam up between his legs. He caught himself before he fell off completely, but the damage was done.
"Motherfucker!"
he shrieked as he temporarily went cross-eyed. I used this opportunity to jump back onto my feet and then took a shot at the captain's exposed head. I raised my sword above my head and brought it down right at the fucker's cranium, but he was quick to block with his cutlass. However, he was completely off balance. When my sword struck his, the impact from the blow shifted his body to the right, and all Carnog could do was drop his sword and grab onto the cross-section of the mast. His body weight forced him to roll over, and he let out a growl of frustration as his flat wooden legs failed to find a foothold. Now, Carnog's entire body was dangling off the mast, and the only thing keeping him from plummeting several dozen feet down onto the deck was his own grip. So I quickly ran over to Carnog and slammed my boot onto his left hand.
"Yow!"
he yelped as his hand let go of the beam. Then I gently stepped onto Carnog's other hand, and the orc growled in pain through his gritted teeth.
"Man."
I clicked my tongue as I looked down at the captain. "You've really lost a step since last time, Carnog."
"Fuck you, Dragon King," the green bastard snarled. "Even if you kill me, there's no way you're gonna win against our dragon. He'll tear you to pieces, and then pick his teeth with your bones."
"Oh, don't worry about the dragon," I reassured Carnog. "I've already got a plan for him. And for you, too."
"Do your worst, you fucking—"
Carnog began. But I cut him off with the swing of my sword. My blade sliced through his wrist like a hot knife through butter. And there was a splash of crimson as Carnog let out a wail of pain. The captain's mouth fell open, and his eyes went wide as he started to plummet back down to the ground, completely helpless. I watched with glee as his body slammed into one of the lower masts with a loud thud, ricocheted off, and then fell down to the deck. I heard a wet crack as Carnog's back hit the very edge of the deck. and then his body rolled over the side and plummeted into the ocean below. Draco Rex 2, Captain Carnog 0. I raised my foot from the bastard's hand, and it fell down onto the deck with a gross splat. Then I grabbed onto one of the ropes, jumped off the mast's cross-section, and slid down onto the main battlefield. Most of the orcs were now abandoning ship, but I wasn't going to let them all get away. I charged at one of the green bastards, parried the swing of his club, and then cut his throat from ear to ear. As he bled out, I turned to another orc, lashed out with my blade, and severed his leg from his knee. The second orc screamed as his crimson gore sprayed onto the deck, but I ended him quickly by driving my sword between his eyes. His tongue flopped out of his mouth as he fell to the ground, and then I moved on to another opponent. By this point, the orc's numbers had been thinned out so much that my crew made short work of them, and one by one, we killed off the green bastards. They died by morpho fan blades, dragonkin spears, giant stone axes, and of course my sea glass blade, and I watched with smug satisfaction as Lazan killed the final orc by splitting his head in two and then kicking him over the side of the ship. Finally, we'd done it. The ship had been commandeered. Now came the tricky part.
Gemma!
I called out to the Nerolope woman telepathically.
I need my best marksman over here now. Tyrion, can you do a flyby and pick her up?
I'm on it!
The silver dragon confirmed. Tyrion swooped over to the deck of the Dragon Queen, hovered in place for a moment, and allowed Gemma to jump onto his back. Then he flew up to the deck of the other ship, landed, and let her off.
Mira! I called over to the golden-scaled dragonkin. I need you guys to get the Dragon Queen clear. We're going to capsize this thing, and I don't want any collateral damage to my baby. Lazan and Nadir, you guys hop back over there and help her get the hell out of here.
The two Kunag women sheathed their axes, gave each other an excited glance, and then charged at the side of the ship. They leapt back over onto the deck of the Dragon Queen, and then instantly scattered into their sailing positions. Mira hesitated to leave for a second, but then I saw her head nod from behind the ship's wheel. The warrior woman let out a whistle, and then we watched as Jonas, Lazan, and Nadir got to work. Within a few seconds, our ship was off and running.
All right, so here's the plan,
I announced to the team that remained on Karnog's ship. Remember that little maneuver we did earlier? The one where we nearly capsized our ship to escape the waterspout? Well, this time we're actually going to capsize the boat, and take a shot at the Wind Dragon while we're doing it.
What good will that do?
Elzara questioned.
When we are tipping over, it'll give him a clearer shot at the dragon up above.
Sarandri spoke up softly.
Are cannonballs going to work against that?
Darwin questioned.
Because they didn't seem to do anything against the fire dragons.
I don't know, I shrugged. All I know is we're only going to get one shot at this, so we have to make it count. Tyrion, can you...
Yeah.
The silver dragon chuckled.
I'll lure it over here right as you're about to fire. I know the drill by now. Tyrion always acts as the bait.
It's only because we know you're clever and fast enough to always escape.
Gemma reassured the dragon.
Just get the boat onto its side, and I'll get big, red, and ugly over here.
Tyrion promised, and then he took to the sky. All right, Morphos, I announced to the butterfly women. Sela here is going to lead you on this mission. Go around and unfasten any heavy objects you possibly can. Then, once that's all done, start rocking the boat as hard as you can.
How do we do that?
Elzara pondered aloud.
There are many ways to do it,
Sela noted.
But I would suggest running back and forth between the two sides as fast as we can.
I'll leave you to it, I agreed. While the rest of the team got to work, Gemma and I dashed over to the ladder, climbed down it, and entered the lower deck of the ship. Unlike the schooner we'd stolen from the orcs, this place was a straight-up pigsty. There were half-eaten bones of various creatures laying in piles all around the walls, and the wood felt weak beneath our feet as we walked across it. Hay was littered around the floor as if these orcs were too cheap to pay for carpet, and the whole place stank to high heaven. Thankfully, we just needed to find the cannons, kill the dragon, and then get the hell out of here. Gemma and I explored the lower deck as the sounds of the battle still raged on around us. I heard the dragons hissing and roaring as they fought above, and there was still the distinct sound of cannonballs off in the distance. Eventually, we found the section of the ship that housed the cannons, so we began to prep them for attack. I watched as Gemma went by and packed gunpowder into each of the iron weapons, and then I started to pick up cannonballs and load them inside. All the while, I could hear loud thuds from the upper deck as our crewmates moved around and prepared to take action, and soon the boat began to gently rock from side to side. "It's working," I smiled at Gemma. "Now I just hope Tyrion can get the Wind Dragon to follow."
"Please,"
Gemma scoffed.
"You know, Tyrion, he could annoy the most patient person if he really tried hard enough."
"Fair enough," I chuckled. Gemma and I braced ourselves as the boat's rocking motion became more violent. Eventually, we were rocking so hard, I wondered if we would capsize before we had a chance to fire our shot.
"Okay, Tyrion,"
Gemma announced.
"I think it's time. If you head over right now, we might just have a shot."
"All right,"
the silver dragon gulped.
"One deadly wind dragon coming right up."
Gemma and I exchanged a final glance, and then I walked over and picked up the torch used to light these weapons. I used a bit of flint in the room to light the thing, and then I held it at an arm's length away as I approached the cannons.
"Now,"
Gemma said.
"Light them now, Ben."
I held the flaming torch over the wicks of the cannons, and then watched as they hissed to life. There was no going back now. For better or for worse, our plan was now in motion. Then I saw Tyrion's tiny silhouette soaring in our direction, followed by a much, much larger red figure. Here they come. I held my breath as the boat rocked one last time, and then we hit the point of no return. The ship began to roll over onto its starboard side, and Gemma and I both fell backward as the world turned upside down. We saw the red silhouette pass overhead just as the cannons erupted, and then the boat capsized. I watched in horror as the cannons broke loose from their restraints and fell down toward us. So when we finally slammed into the new floor of the boat, I wasted no time.
"Move!"
I commanded in a huff. Gemma and I both scrambled off to the sides of the ship as the cannons came crashing down and busted through the floor. Water began to rush in through the holes in large, powerful droves, and then began to rise around us.
"Over there!"
Gemma pointed to the entrance ladder, which was now completely horizontal. The two of us sloshed through the seawater in the ship, but we only got a few steps before the water overtook the exit. Fuck. The ship was sinking, and we were both still in it. "Come on!" I called out as I increased my pace. By the time Gemma and I got to the opening, the water was up to our necks, so we both took a deep breath and dove under. The salty water would have stung my eyes like a motherfucker if I was still human, but thankfully my new dragonkin jeans helped me out on that front. So I grabbed Gemma's hand and tugged her along, and as we passed through the threshold of the decks, I noticed there was something else in the water. Blood. Lots of fucking blood. Gemma and I kicked out into the ocean and then made a beeline for the surface. Soon, we popped up through the surface of the water and took a long, deep breath of fresh air.
Did we kill it?
Gemma's eyes darted back and forth as she looked to the sky.
Where's the Wind Dragon?
When I glanced across the horizon, I found her answer. It's right there. I pointed to the beast as I treaded water. There, not 100 feet from us, was a large, feathered creature floating in the water. Its body was lifeless, and blood oozed out of several holes in its body. That would be our Wind Dragon.
Oh, it worked?
Gemma sighed with relief.
I can't believe it actually worked!
I guess those things are glass cannons, I chuckled. They can dish out a lot of damage, but they can't really handle much themselves.
Sit tight, Ben!
Malky's voice came through my head.
I'm coming over to get you.
What about the rest of the crew?
I asked the copper-scaled beast.
They're already safe and accounted for, back on the Dragon Queen,
Malky promised.
What about the other ships?
Gemma asked.
And the dragons?
I twirled myself around in the water and saw the orc fleet was now in full retreat. Why wouldn't they be? Their captain was lost at sea, and their only true weapon against the dragons was now dead. If they tried to continue after the herd, they would have been literal toast. However, much to my dismay, the fire dragons were also in full retreat. They were nothing but dots off on the horizon now, and my heart sank as I realized going after them was a lost cause at this point. My crew was all going to be exhausted from the battle, and I knew we'd lost some of our supplies overboard when we escaped the waterspout. As much as I hated to admit it, it was probably for the best that we turned back. In no time flat, Malky's copper body appeared beneath the surface. Gemma and I grabbed onto his back, and then the water dragon took us back in the direction of our ship. When we arrived at the Dragon Queen, we used the ladder to climb up to the deck, where our friends were already waiting. Much to my surprise, however, they were all smiles. "What's going on?" I asked my crew. "Why are you all so happy? The dragons got away, and we're going to have to head back to the Dragonkin Island."
"It's neither here nor there, Dracorex," Jonas proclaimed. "The women who bear your children have their internal compass that can help you find the herd again. And this time, we will make sure the ceremony goes off completely uninterrupted."
"Also, we found this in the water,"
Kandara spoke up as she stepped forward.
"It must have fallen off the capsized ship."
In her hands was an orb-shaped crystal the size of a tricycle tire. The golden-haired butterfly woman held it out for me to observe, but I wasn't quite sure what I was looking at. "What is it?" I finally caved and asked.
"It's a winged dragon egg,"
Kandara declared with a broad smile.
"This is how the orcs had one on their side. They must have trained it from the time it was a baby."
"Wow," I sighed. "Oh, now I kind of feel bad for killing it."
"Oh, don't be ridiculous,"
Mira waved her hand.
"If we hadn't killed the wind dragon, it would have killed us for sure. There was no way we could have rebonded it given the circumstances."
"Precisely,"
Kandara agreed.
"Besides, now you have a chance to do better, to start over with a new baby wind breather at your side."
"I can't wait," I grinned. "But first, let's go home. We can sort all this stuff out when we get back." I wandered over to Mira at the wheel, and she instantly relinquished her position. I stood behind the steering wheel of the Dragon Queen, took control of the vessel, and then steered us in the direction of the Dragonkin Island. It had been a long week, and I wanted nothing more than to go back and see the rest of my friends and family. And maybe, somewhere along the way, we'd figure out just what we could do with this wind dragon egg.